Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Now, here's Craig.
My God, for Good Friday, I shared another message in our series on the Confessions of a Dying Man, looking at the dying declarations of Jesus from the cross. Check it out. Jesus has been hanging silently on the cross for about 3 hours. And now he musters all of the strength that he can manage to deliver 4 final dying declarations that all come in pretty close proximity to one another. His first 3 dying declarations were all words of love. To those people who had treated him so horribly, there was a word of forgiveness that was rooted in that agape, godly love. To the lifelong criminal that was crucified next to Jesus and placed his faith in Jesus, there was a word of salvation, also a word that came from agape love. To his mother that needed to be cared for, Jesus spoke out of a heart of storge love. And as he entrusted his mother to the care of his beloved disciple John, it was rooted in philos love. But now comes a word that is anything but love. It's a word of sheer agony. It's a word that comes from a heart that has known depths of betrayal and pain that have never been known and never even been approached in all of human history. Jesus pushes down on that spike through his ankles to get a gulp of air and raises his voice and says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Here's how Matthew records it in his gospel, Matthew 27, verses 45 and 46. From the 6th hour until the 9th hour, so that's from noon until about 3 p.m., darkness came over all the land. About the 9th hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? As we remember Good Friday, does this message, my God, why have you forsaken me, sound like a good message? It's a word that Matthew and Mark record as the only dying declaration that they record of Jesus. None of the other 6 are found in Matthew or Mark's gospel. And they record it nearly identically. Jesus speaks in the everyday language of the common people, Aramaic. Matthew and Mark record his words in the worldwide language of business and commerce and literature, Greek. And these words are a direct translation from the Hebrew scripture, Aramaic, Greek, Hebrew. You know what that tells me? Is that Jesus wanted to make sure that this was a word for everyone, for Jews and for Greeks, for noblemen and for commoners, for religious people and for pagans. This word is taken as a direct quotation from Psalm 22, a psalm that David wrote nearly 1,000 years before these events on the hill called Golgotha occur. And yet I am struck by the amazing accuracy in David's words. Let me give you a couple of examples. I mentioned how horribly Jesus was treated, the way that he was spit upon and mocked and derided and insulted. And the language in the New Testament is one of people continue to pile on with all of those things. And here's what David says in Psalm 22. He says, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. When Jesus was stripped naked to be nailed to that cross, his undergarment was found to be one whole garment, woven into one piece. And the soldiers said, hey, let's not rip this apart. Let's gamble for it. Let's cast lots for this to see how we're going to get this. Again, here's what David records 1,000 years earlier in Psalm 22. He says, they divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Even the fact that Jesus was crucified, a form of torture and death that was unknown in David's time. And yet David again records these words here. He says that my hands and my feet have been pierced. And then comes this cry that Jesus quoted directly. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, and by night, and I am not silent. Matthew and Mark both record these words. It says that Jesus cried out. The Greek word that they use there can mean it is a cry of joy, or is it it's a cry of pain. Obviously, you would determine which word you're using based on the context of the setting there. But I'm especially interested in what comes next. It says that he cried out in a loud voice. None of Jesus's other statements from the cross are we told that it was in a loud voice. Perhaps Jesus was just getting enough air out of his lungs to barely be heard. But this statement that he makes now is one that he made sure everybody heard. In fact, when I tell you the Greek words that are used here, you're going to instantly know how Jesus spoke. The word for loud is the Greek word megas or mega. And the Greek word for voice is the word phoné. Megas, phoné. What does that sound like to you? A megaphone. Mark made sure that people understood this was sort of the bookend of his whole gospel. Just three verses into his gospel, Mark chapter 1, verse 3, Mark talks about John the Baptist announcing the arrival of Jesus in this same big voice, this same loud cry, letting people know that Jesus was coming. And here we are now all the way at the end of Mark's gospel, and Jesus cries out this with the same loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I said this could be a cry of joy or a cry of pain. So which was it? You probably think that it's a cry of pain. But I think that we can make a case that it could be both of those words. It could be both joy or pain. But you know, there's a third way of using this word in the Greek language. It's a cry of help. It's a cry of help. See, I think Jesus is about to take a plunge here. He is about to go to a deeper depth than anyone has ever gone before. He is literally about to storm the gates of hell. And so I think that this megaphone cry is a battle cry. I think that he is crying out for God's help as he gets ready to plunge into the fiercest battle that has ever been known. Now, let me take you back to Psalm 22. It opens with these words, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a cry of despair, and yes, that does sound like a cry of pain and certainly not a cry of joy, and it doesn't really sound like a battle cry at that point either. And yet, when we see all the similarities throughout this psalm of what was happening there on Calvary's Hill on that day that we now remember as Good Friday, I want you to hear how David closes this psalm and listen how different the tone and the feel is. He's just started off by saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then when we get to Psalm 22, verse 25, listen to the change of message from David. From you comes the theme of my praise. My praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nation will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. So do you see what I'm saying when I say that this cry from the cross could truly be a cry of pain, but it could also be a cry of joy, as David completely flips this message around in Psalm 22, going from my God, why have you forsaken me, to God has done it, and he is Lord over all, and everyone will bow before him and rejoice before him. Jesus lifted this megaphone voice cry to make sure that everybody heard. Everybody heard his battle cry. It was a battle cry that was heard in heaven. It was a battle cry that was heard in hell. Listen to how Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 4. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. When Jesus cried out in that megaphone voice from the cross, it was a battle cry that shook the gates of hell. It was a battle cry that still reverberated in hell when Jesus stormed through the gates of hell and defeated hell and death and the grave once for all. In fact, this word megas continues to show up. The stone that is put in front of Jesus's tomb is described in the Greek language as a megas stone. The next, on resurrection morning, when that stone is rolled away, the Greek word there is a megas earthquake that took place. When Jesus' friends show up at the tomb and they look inside and they see the tomb open, it's described as them having megas joy at seeing the empty tomb. And Jesus also used the same word about himself when he talked about how he would return his second coming as now the conquering king. Let me read for you, Matthew 24, 31, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, a megas trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. And Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice, the phoné, of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Friends, Jesus went to the lowest depths so that he could take you and I to the highest heights. His cry here from the cross, where he gathered all of his strength to lift a megaphone battle cry, was a cry of pain because of what sin had done, and so for so long it separated people from God. But it was a battle cry as he began to storm the gates of hell, and it was a cry, a megaphone voice cry of joy, because he knew the victory that was coming on the other side. So, is this a Good Friday message? It sure is, because now we can say, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, yeah, you don't have a victory, because Jesus took the victory away from you. Jesus now holds the keys to hell, death, and the grave. Jesus is now the conquering king. That's why we remember and celebrate what was so good on that Friday on Golgotha. God bless you, friends. If you would like to check out the other messages that I've shared in this series, I've shared a link in the show notes.
To get in touch with Craig, to read more posts, or to access the huge library of resources Craig has compiled, please check out craigtowens.com.